Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our sermons in the letter of James in the New Testament. So if you have your Bible handy, please turn first of all to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm reading there from verse 27, Matthew chapter 24, and then our text in James chapter 5, verses 7 through to 11. Entitled our message this morning, Waiting for Jesus. Jesus, in Matthew 24, verse 27, says, "For as lightning comes from the east, is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations on the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels out with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Verse 36, No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, and would not have had his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Then if you'll turn to our text in James chapter 5, just from verse 7 to verse 11. James, our Lord's brother, says, "Be patient then, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning, waiting on Jesus. As we get ready to celebrate the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though eternally God, did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, says the Apostle Paul, but made himself as nothing. Taking upon himself the form of a servant, he became truly man. And he was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Wherefore God has exalted him to the highest place, and given him, Jesus, the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. As we get ready to celebrate the first coming of Jesus as a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, James would encourage us, indeed command us, to be ready for his second coming as judge and king. James, our Lord's brother, had been with the apostolic band on the Mount of Olives at Christ's ascension. He had seen the Shekinah glory, the luminous cloud of God's presence, overshadow the mount. He had stood in awe and wonder As the glow of the cloud receded and the angels issued their challenge, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into the sky? This same Jesus, whom you've seen being taken away from you, will come back again in the same way that you have seen him go." Three great words in the New Testament refer to the Lord's second coming. Epiphania, from which we get our word epiphany, means an appearing, or a showing, or a manifestation of Christ. The word apocalypsis means an unveiling, an apocalypse, a revelation, a laying bare of the full display of Christ's glory. Here in verses 7 and 8 of his letter, James uses the word parousia, which emphasizes Jesus' physical presence. He is returning to be alongside us forever. It's a word to denote the physical arrival of a ruler. James sees the persecuted church of the first century, Christians, in this case primarily Jewish believers in Yeshua the Messiah, being often persecuted and found suffering for the sake of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom. God's suffering people, longing for the presence of Christ their King. They knew that when Jesus came to be with them, everything would be all right. And James tells us how to wait for Jesus. Firstly, we must wait patiently, like the farmer, he says, who waits for the autumn rains, works hard in the fields, ploughing and planting and cultivating, and then he must wait for the spring rains a few months later to reap a harvest. These rains represent the rhythm of the seasons. It is a process. There's no other way to reap a harvest. It requires more than hard work, toiling in the heat of the day, day by day. It also requires a long period of patient waiting for the rain that will ripen the crop for reaping. To fight against the process would be futile. There is a hidden timetable. You have to trust wholeheartedly in the sovereignty of the Creator, his mercy in sending the later rain. You have no power to order or alter the seasons on his timetable. So it is in the Christian life. The coming of the Lord Jesus is imminent, but you need to wait on him with patience. A lot will happen before he comes again, as the Apostle Peter reminds us in his letter. If you have your Bible there, turn with me to the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, and reading from verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 3. Peter says, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is his coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. But do not forget this one thing, dear brothers," says Peter. "With the Lord a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise," that is, the promise of his return, as some understand slowness. "He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Did you hear that, friend? The only reason why Jesus hasn't returned again the second time, to consummate this age, is that he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter goes on, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with God's promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. How good of the Lord that He is so patient! But we must wait for Him and for His return with similar patience. Secondly, James enjoins us to be positive, not negative. Verse 9, he says, "Don't grumble against each other, or you will be judged. The judge is already standing at the door. He is about to throw open the door and stride to his judgment seat. So make sure that you're in a right relationship with the judge, the Lord Jesus, and with one another, with your wife, your circle of acquaintances, especially your brothers and sisters in the family of God. We must wait for Jesus patiently. We must wait for Jesus positively. And then thirdly, we must wait for Jesus with unassailable perseverance. Look now at verse 11. Blessed are those who persevere. It's a teaching that we find from Genesis to Revelation. James says, take the example of the Hebrew prophets. Isaiah, for example, kept on prophesying even though God told him the Israelites would be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, all the Hebrew prophets saw their prophecies ignored and often had to face the hostility of their hearers. Yet they persevered. Against all odds, the Christian likewise is to persevere in faith and obedience until the Lord comes. As the writer to the Hebrew reminds us, we are to run the particular race that God has set each one of us with patience and perseverance, looking to Jesus. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't simply be guided or impeded by your feelings. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because as Paul reminds us too, the one who's begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. And so we are to persevere in faith and obedience until the Lord comes. It's a patient wait. It's a positive wait. It's a purposeful wait. It's a wait that requires dogged but joyful and expectant perseverance. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. Sometimes we're not so great at that, are we? Well, Job wasn't all that great at it, and yet here's James, our Lord's brother, using Job as an example. But how it all turned out in the end, and that's what James wants us to understand. Even though Job's faith was severely tested, he did, by the grace of God, persevere to the end. And what an end it was! God came in with wonderful restoration and enormous blessing. He was blessed beyond his wildest dreams. So will you be, so will I be, if we persevere in faith, looking to Jesus, who is both the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And so it will be for the Christian. Why? Verse 11b, because God is full of compassion and full of mercy. And when we stumble, He'll lift us up. When we fall, He won't leave us down. Hallelujah. He will deliver us again and again, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus and persevere in faith and trustful obedience. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, says Isaiah the prophet. They will mount up as on eagle's wings. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. This is the promise of God for those who are waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The words in the original in verse 11, God is full of compassion and mercy, reflect and convey deep-seated emotional feeling of love that God has for each one of us. Friend, God abounds in love. He longs to show us the full measure of His love. What an encouragement, then, in this 21st century, when the world has been so hard-pressed and so many millions are suffering as a result of a global pandemic, and so much is going on in the world that are the signs of the times being fulfilled. The return of our Lord is imminent. So let's link the teaching of James with the teaching of Jesus and Paul and get even more excited. Although the events preceding Jesus coming back again are not events that would naturally cause us excitement, I suppose. Jesus taught his disciples that before he returns, there will be world-impacting disasters, wars, earthquakes, and famines. Wars abound today, so do earthquakes. And the director of a major world food relief program said just this past week that next year, 2021, could usher in the beginning of famines, the like of which the world has never seen. 1 million or more may die from COVID-19, but the likelihood, sadly, is that many more millions will perish from hunger, starvation. Disasters in the world will be coupled with deserters in the church. Jesus says, when the Son of God returns, will he find faith on the earth? One wonders if the technological revolution and a world pandemic like COVID-19 will not result in a massive number of people, nominal Christians, leaving the church. Jesus says the love of many will grow cold, and many will turn away from the faith. There will be the rise of a world-impacting dictator, a personification of the spirit of Antichrist that has always been at work in the world. There will be a plethora of false prophets, supernatural displays of occult power, as they try to deceive even genuine Christians. Aren't we perhaps witnessing that very thing in the 21st century? Finally, there will be a globally impacting darkness. We read about that in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. One Bible commentator says, and I quote, "All natural sources of light will be extinguished. Sun, moon, and stars will be shaken out of their orbits. As in a theater, when the house lights are turned off, it is a signal that the drama is about to begin. So the pitch-dark sky will be filled with brilliant light, and the Son of God will return. Unbelievers will be filled with grief. Faithful believers who have died will rise with resurrected and glorified and immortal bodies. Believers still on earth will undergo instant similar change, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds of indescribable glory when Jesus returns. At the sound of God's trumpet, the bride of Christ on earth, the church of the redeemed, will be married to her groom. When Jesus comes, he will complete the saints. The whole Israel of God will be finally and eternally saved. The God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob will fulfill his eternal covenant relationship. A great remnant of believing Jews will return in repentance and faith to their Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. The natural olive branch will be grafted back into the tree where they originally belonged, and all the redeemed from every people group on earth will be one people, worshipping and serving the one true God forever and ever. The devil will be conquered, and the Lord Jesus will command the world. Finally, the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Time will be no more. A day will be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." Yes, when Jesus comes, he will complete the saints. He will consummate God's great plan of salvation. The ungodly will be condemned. The injustice of life deserves it. and the justice of God demands it. The world will be judged, and Jesus and his saints will be vindicated. They will reign eternally in renewed heavens and a renewed earth. And so as we close with the words of James, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming, the parousia, is near. Verse 8. And remember, dear friend, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So if you've never done so before, now is the time to turn to the Lord in repentance of sin, in a full confession before the Lord who knows all things, and to place your trust in Jesus Christ, who came the first time to be your Savior, offering up his sinless life on the cross as a substitute and a sacrifice for your sins and mine. He paid our debt in full and was raised the third day that we might be justified, that God might declare us not guilty on the grounds of our faith in Jesus, who took away our sins, who paid our debt through his death on the cross. What a wonderful opportunity God is giving to us once again this Christmas to not only rejoice in the first coming of our Savior, but to be waiting, watching, working, ready for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came the first time to redeem us, to be our Savior, to provide the forgiveness of sins and the gift of everlasting life. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Turn to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. Perhaps you'd like to do that right now as you bow your head with me in prayer and say, O God, I thank you that as we prepare for Christmas, I can prepare my heart for the coming of Jesus. I turn from my own way. I confess that I am the sinner for whom Jesus died. I'm sorry for my sin and waywardness and self-centeredness, Lord God, for everything that I've thought and said and done that has been an offense to you. I ask your forgiveness. I ask that you'd wash me, cleanse me now through the precious blood of Jesus, shed on the cross for my sins. And putting my whole trust in you now, Lord Jesus, I receive you by faith as my Savior, my Redeemer, my King, my Lord, and my God. I commit my whole life to you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and give to me the assurance that I am your child, and the ability to live for your glory from this moment on. Help me, Lord, to take to heart the words of Scripture that have come to me today, that I may be waiting for the return of Jesus in the right way, that I may wait with patience, that I may wait with a positive spirit, that I may wait with perseverance. And we thank you, dear Lord, for hearing and answering the prayer of every repentant sinner. And so we praise you for the good news of the gospel, and pray that over this Christmas period and into the new year, when there is so much despair and hopelessness, so much joblessness, so much unemployment, poverty and hardship and suffering in our world, that the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came that first Christmas to be our Savior, and who is coming again to be our Judge and our eternal King, that there may be multitudes of people all over the world who will hear the good news about Jesus and be saved, forgiven, redeemed, a broken relationship with you restored, dear Lord, filled with the peace of God that surpasses understanding, knowing the joy of the Lord as strength. And help us all to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he ever lives to intercede for us. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. And thank you that you are coming again. Help us all to be ready. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. With angelic